back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a day. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
The Listed Rosebud heads off the 10-race card at Rose Hill on Saturday. Once again, the B-set. I've got Ray Hickson joining me. Ray, you shot the lights out, including your out-wide galloper, scoring in dominant fashion as well over the weekend. You're in form, and you're looking to slam the money nice and early.
Well, I hope so, Brody. Yeah, look, it's always good when you find a winner, because they're not always easy. But we're faced with that challenge again here this week. 10 races at Rose Hill, another good track. A few short price favourites. Keen to take a couple of them on, so we'll just see how it goes.
We were just chatting about it off there. Before we do get into the track and the rail, it could be a punter's paradise. It could be a bookie's paradise. We got a lot of favourites between that $2 and $3.20 quote, and a lot of them are first up following a spell as well.
Yeah, that creates, a bit of a larger discussion that I may have brought up a bit later on, and how much weight do you put into trials? Because, I mean, obviously, you're a big trial watcher. You know, I pay a bit of attention to them as well. We've had horses come out and trial, like, you know, Group 1 horses and then get beaten at midweeks. You know, there's so many variables to take into account, and a number of those first up favourites are coming off eye-catching trials. So it'll be interesting to see how that translates to race day.
And especially the likes of Les Vampiris on Wednesday, laid out horribly. It's quite disappointing on debut in regards to its market expectation. With a bit more race experience, bolts in a fairly nice race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, particularly with young horses, race experience is gold.
Now, the rail's out 3 metres on Saturday. It was out much further last week. The last time we raced here was on the 20th of May. That was in soft conditions. We've had a fantastic run of dry weather. Touchwood continues here in Sydney. The last time the rail was out this far in that soft ground was when Celestial Legend won the first and stamped himself as a colt to follow. Sweet Mercy, Sister Moon took out the midway and the highway, and that was when Redeemer scored as a dominant favourite. So I remember that day the track played extremely evenly, as it often has in the last couple of months. So you're going in there with the open mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the tracks, we've had an unusual amount of steady weather. We haven't had a lot of rain. We've had good tracks pretty much every week. And Rose Hill particularly has been playing quite fairly. I think, as we said last week, always in those shoot races, there's a chance that the leader or those on pace can skip around the bend and skip away, and that's just Rose Hill. But, you know, the rail was in the true last week. It's out to 3. It played well last week. We've had some trials there this morning out wider. I expect it to play well again.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a lot of luck in regards to the weather. You're spot on. And this track, often, it's always up to how it does race. So you can lead your mind up each day. And hopefully when we do get into Saturday's card, it's going to play very evenly, because we've got some really nice horses resuming, headed off by the headline act, which comes up in race number 8. It's the Listed Rosebud, worth $200,000 for the three-year-olds. Now, the colts have absolutely dominated this race, and we've got a couple here, but it's a filly, a maiden, that heads betting Tis Invincible 250. Speaking of hot trialers, this filly brings some really nice form lines. Second favourite, the Instructor for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. He's the first of the colts in the market at 460. We've got another filly in Cigar Flick, then introducing there at 750, and Roussillon is the other runner in single figures. Double figures or better for the rest. Ray, we've got a lot of nice horses here resuming. Are you keen on one in particular?
Keen is probably not a word I'd use, but as you mentioned, a couple of fillies up there, two of the top three in the betting. She's a Fox in 2012 is the only horse to win this as a filly. I don't know how many have contested it, to be fair. I haven't really gone into that. But I am with a filly. I'm banking on Cigar Flick being sort of getting that nice card into the race and being able to use the turn of foot that we saw a month ago when she beat Epic Proportions with that gutsy ride up on the fence from Jason Collett. I think it's a pretty even field. I don't think we've got any massive standouts here. Cigar Flick's won 2 races and she gets in with 55 kilos thanks to her rating of 72. And look, she measured up okay there in the autumn as a young 2-year-old in some stakes races. She's got the turn of foot. It's just a matter of how the race pans out for her. Tis Invincible, as you mentioned, did trial really well last week. That was in a maiden trial, and she sat about four or five deep and just cruised around and was far too good for them there. I mean, she's had two starts in group company, been well found in both of them and run well. Barrier one, James McDonald. It's really up to her. We know what's going to happen in this race. Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bodd have two horses here. They've drawn barriers 3 and 5, so they will look to lead or be 1-2. And whether there's something else there to put any pressure on will probably dictate the chances of those back in the field. So that's what I'm banking on. I'm banking on a little bit of pressure and Sir Garflick getting the last call at them. And by race 8, we'll know how the track is playing, if it is playing to a particular pattern.
You're spot on, because introducing Should Roll Forward, the instructor as well, Sir Garflick. It was weird in that four-horse field. I half expected her to sit outside the lead like she did on debut, but she was slowly away, which lucky for her was a small horse field, and lucky for me, she got the gap, because I was heavily on her that day, and I was sitting there at about the 300 nervous, but she trialled well leading into it, and you can tell they've kept her nice and fresh for this. A couple of interesting horses. Roussillon hasn't showed too much early gate speed, but you've got the likes of Infatuation, Firelane and Griff that have all settled handy to the races, but they don't often like taking them up themselves. And if Tiz Invincible can jump well, maybe land in the box seat, she's going to be very hard to beat. The key thing I want to highlight with this horse is, you look back to last campaign, she was 4-5 wide throughout on the Group 3 Black Opal. She was heavily backed Adele. There's some crazy plunge. I think she was about $8 into 250. She jumped a clear favourite. Despite the wide course, she was only defeated 3.5 lengths. She then went to Randwick in the Percy Sykes at Group 2 level on heavy ground, and it was a day you needed to be well off the fence at Randwick and blending into the race. Not only was she caught on the fence, but she had a horse laying in on her in the lead up, and when she finally did get through and past the post, she really picked up. The 1,200 metres, she's going to get a little bit further than that. I think she's a 1,400 metre horse at least, but two good trials, as you mentioned. She coursed really wide in the latest. The key booking of James McDonald. She's an interesting mounting yard watch, because if she stays firm late or even does trim up in the market, she's going to be ready to rock and roll.
Well, the other factor here is she was a late nomination for this race. She was not in the field on Monday when the noms were taken, and she was put in on Tuesday on the extended noms. So,
and it's weird because they had Estriella in there, the stable, and they didn't accept with Estriella.
Yeah, so Kira Moore and David Eustace have had a good look at this race and figured that it's a good starting point for her rather than going to the 1,200 metres next week. So, yeah, look, James McDonald gave me the impression when I spoke to him that, 1,100 metres is at the bottom of her powers. So she's going to need probably a little bit of luck from that barrier one. But as I said, I think this is a race where, I was going to say luck, but how the race pans out in that first half of the race, it's going to dictate a lot of things. If the leaders are getting an easy time, those at the back might be hard for them to make ground. If the leaders are overdoing it, well, then we'll be looking for something to swing home. So by race 8, we'll know what we're dealing with.
It's a really interesting race, no matter what it is.
Mm.
Race number 1 is our head-to-head. We've got two impressive horses, one for the Chris Waller Yard Catalyst. So I'll let you touch on him mainly because he's your best bet of the day. Bit of a spoilers there, the 3-year-old colt by I'm Invincible. Horribly unlucky on debut behind McHale, who had trialled really strongly alongside before heading to the races, and then behind nailed Estriella on the post to my misery. I was heavily on Estriella that day, and Cabalus, he gets back up to the 1,300 metres after running over the 1,250 on debut, went back to the 1,100, and he's going head-to-head with the Little Pumper, who's chasing 3 on the bounce.
It really does look like a bit of a head-to-head, isn't it? And it's a classic promising horse looking for a little bit of ground on the way up, proven on pacer who's going to be tough. You know it's going to lead the Little Pumper. You know that Cabalus up to 1,300 metres with gate 3, I would expect him to be no further back than he was in that 1,100 metre race. I think he settled about 5th in the clear. Wouldn't even surprise me if he lands in the 1-1. Best bet of the day, yeah, look, I made it Cabalus largely because I just think it sets up well for him. I think that he's the horse most likely to appear in, say, a Golden Rose.
He ticks all the boxes, doesn't he?
Well, he ticks a lot of boxes. I mean, he's only had the 2 starts, so we don't really know how good he is. He did start $12 in that race the other day. Now we're taking $230, $240 thereabouts. So that's the little niggle, that the fact that, you know, the SP profile of him versus the Little Pumper, who started favourite 4 of his 5 starts. So, as I said, you know with the Little Pumper, we're going to be in front and you're going to get a good sight. With Cabalas, you're banking on the fact that he's potentially the best horse in this race and is going to go on to better races than some of the others here. A horse like Waverly shapes as maybe a spring champion type of horse. And then you're sort of getting out to horses that probably don't have a lot of chance to go into better races. So yeah, look, I'm just banking on Cabalas having that turn of foot that he showed to run down Estrella at 1,100 metres, being able to pounce on a Little Pumper late.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting race. Gambare, this is a horse I really struggled to tie in because he was a really interesting galloper. He won on debut sitting outside the lead. He was brave. He was just about knocked down in the two-year-old, I think that was the English Millennium, behind Learning to Fly when starting. Big odds was eye-catching from the back. Another eye-catching run from the back at Randwick behind Corniche, and then led them up in this Group 2 size there in Victoria behind V8. He's had two trials, was given a good howdy on both of those, and he might be one of these horses that can power across to sit outside the stable, mate. The likes of Kintyre raced really well first up at the Provincials against older horses, but is it up to this class of the likes of Little Pumper and Cabalas, who might just be different gravy? The one query I have with the Little Pumper, obviously he steps up in weight, he's had a tick over trial, but geez, I don't like those form lines last start behind. I think Private Legacy was the run of the race by far, but he won comfortably, but he had everything in his favour.
Well, that's what leaders hope for, everything in their favour.
And that's what they deserve it, because they put themselves in the
exactly,
race.
Exactly, exactly. And like I said, we know what we're getting with the Little Pumper, and you know, you wouldn't imagine Gambare would put a super amount of pressure on him being a stable mate, but at the same time, you know, they're owned in different interests. They're both out there to win. So look, we'll see what transpires there. But I'm pretty keen to see if Cabalas is the real deal.
I completely agree. And if he ticks the box here, he opens up some spring options.
Well, you're looking at the up and coming and the Golden Rose.
If he doesn't tick this box, then you go, all right, was that one just out of the box? And is there a slight query over 1,300?
No, you wouldn't think so. I mean, James McDonald got off and said, you know, this horse wants 1,400 at least. Or at least, you know, at least up to 1,400 metres. And the fact that Chris Waller kicked him off at 1,250 says that, you know. And we didn't get to see him there, really. He didn't get a crack at them. He got a crack at them the other day and he showed that he is above average, which you would expect considering he cost $1 million.
The Fly in the Ointment comes up in race number 9, Pericles. He's the favourite for the TAB handicap. I can tell you what, this could almost be a listed race as well. Just chatting on Punters Panel with Dave Stanley this morning that, yes, the feature is race number 8, the Rosebud, but this is probably the race of the day. Pericles, he melted in the yard prior to the Group 1 Rosehill Guineas, went on to tackle the Derby, started $4, and then ran into the very, very smart Osipenko in a Group 3 at Randwick. He's had two trials in preparation for this, or three trials, the first at Hawkesbury, the second at Hawkesbury behind Parazel, a very smart stablemate, but that latest trial win at Canterbury was impressive.
It was very impressive. Look, it is a good race. This registered, not really a registered name, but this was called the Spring Preview, and it really is. We've lost two of them in the field so far with Hugh Calder and Matthew Flinders coming out this morning. So we're down to a field of 13. The big question here is what does James McDonald do on Pericles?
I think he has to settle midfield a little bit further back.
I actually disagree. I actually think he needs to roll forward. I don't think he needs to press for the lead, but he needs to be in front of a lot of these horses. I don't see any value in going back. There's no speed here. You've got Glint of Silver probably gifted the lead. And where does the rest of it come from? I can't see it.
My worry for him, though, is he's a gelding. They're kicking off this campaign. They're going to have bigger goals in mind. They won't want to get caught. If he's caught wide here throughout and he has a really tough run, I'm sure they don't want to risk having any setbacks.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you look at his pattern, you know, in the Autumn Stakes that Glint of Silver beat him in earlier in the year. It was his first up run last preparation. He was in a field of 9, he drew 5, and he settled midfield. Now, obviously, we're up to a field of 12 or 13 at this point, but he's shown that he's a horse that is going to be the most effective at a mile to 2,000 metres. And I just feel that there's nothing to be gained from having a barrier trial here. You know, and I'm not suggesting they're out to do that. I'm thinking that they're out to set up this campaign with a big performance. You've got Glint of Silver and perhaps Perfect Thought, the major sources of pace, and there's not a lot there. You've got Banana Queen drawn out. She probably has to roll forward to a little bit of a degree. That opens up the possibility for Pericles to maybe slot in fourth, fifth. That's just my thoughts on paper, and obviously races aren't run on paper. I'll be interested to see if Colino is there when we see scratchings in the morning. Chris Waller's update, Twitter update yesterday suggested he may wait from the wide gate. So that will ruin Pericles' price a little bit more. You know, I'm thinking he's probably going to be aimed at races like the Epsom and maybe even the King Charles.
I think we both agree it's probably best over the mile.
Yeah, I think mile to 2,000 metres, just depending. I think he showed that last preparation, which is why he should be able to be, you know, effective enough at 1,400 metres to put himself somewhere in the field. Like, if he's back last, he can't win.
If he ideally lands one out, one back, or maybe two pairs back off the fence, he's a genuine even money chance.
Yeah, that's right. And you're going to know that. You've got a number of horses here resuming. Some of them are stayers. Some of them are horses that we're not used to seeing up on the pace. So obviously the Racing New South Wales Twitter feed in the morning will be handy to see whether there are any change of tactics. But with Pericles, he is the horse to beat, I agree. I'd just love to see just that little bit more tempo in the race to be able to be confident that he's going to be able to settle wherever James McDonald wants to put him and then be able to flood home. Because, yeah, that trial was sensational where he ran over Arapahoe at Canterbury. And
if he keeps himself together in the yard as well, if he parades beautifully, you can back him with more confidence. Because I won't get out of my head last campaign. He was a sweaty, sweaty mess.
Wasn't everyone on track that day?
No, I was inside. I had my father and my stepmother there. We were having a few bubblies on the ice and a nice bit of air con.
Yeah, so look, it was a hot day that day. And look, you don't blame Pericles for feeling it. And he only got beat by the bob of the head, didn't he?
Yeah.
Look, you know,
very quickly,
yep.
You obviously watched Chris's preview. I was going to do that this afternoon. Madame Pomeroy, did he give her any push, or was he just kind of saying a little bit further?
Well, did he give her a big push? Look, I think a lot of the attention was more on Colino, just from memory, because I did watch this yesterday. Look, we know Madame Pomeroy. We know she's a Group 1 winner. That was on a heavy track as a three-year-old, so, you know, she has to make that transition. Nothing wrong with her trials. She's effective enough, fresh. Yeah, look, I mean, he didn't talk her down from memory, but
I look back to that run last campaign at Randwick over the 1,200 behind in secret. Mm. Settled last, got to the outside and absolutely savaged the line. Her next run, it reads 12 of 13 behind Sunshine in Paris. She got to the outside, did the same thing and hit the line really well before she was disappointing behind Zoo Gotcha in that far lap stakes. She got back to last. No horses were making ground off the fence that day.
Yeah.
And then she was tipped out for a spell. But her trials are apples and oranges compared to last campaign.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to be any different for her? I mean, she's going to be back probably with Pericles or further back than him.
But she's got class on her side, which I really like. And the fact she's a mare on the yarp, I still think she's improving. And how many other horses in here can be Group 1 winners or Group 1 competitive? There's not many apart from maybe Pericles and Perfect Thought going forward.
Well, true, but Pericles has got this issue as well, and it's something that a lot of people talk about, is they've got to make that transition from 3 to 4. Racing against your own age as a 2 and 3-year-old is a completely different story to racing against all ages, all these hardened horses, as much talent as you've got. I mean, Madame Pomeroy is a Group 1 winner and she's in an open handicap. You know, first up from a spell, Pericles' Group 1 place probably should be a Group 1 winner, and he's in an open handicap first up. These horses could run in the Wink Stakes next week, and we probably wouldn't bat an eye that they're in the field. But the fact that they're in this race suggests this is a transition. This will tell the stables, you know, how they've come back, whether they can aim at, you know, Group 1 weight for age races or Group 1 handicaps, things like that. So it's going to be a very interesting exercise to look at this race on Sunday and sort of see how these horses have come back. You've also got horses like Political Debate, who had a bit of a rap on him as a young horse.
He looks a genuine stayer.
Yeah, Special Sway showed a bit in Brisbane. You know, Perfect Thought also showed a lot of talent.
He might be the sleeper off a very nice trial in Kovalika form.
Well, it's important for him, speaking to John Sargent this week, it's important for him to run well first up, because he's got, you know, some fairly lofty goals later in the spring in Victoria. So there's a bit, you know, there's a lot on the line in this race for a number of horses, not just, you know, us punters who are probably going to be on Pericles at somewhere under $3.
We've spent a long time on this chat, and we've gone back and forth, and we've agreed a couple of things, we've disagreed on others, and that's the beauty of this race, isn't it?
Oh, there's so many angles to this race, and as we've mentioned a couple of times, the speed of this race could well dictate the outcome. I mean, a few people have picked up on Glint of Silver, and I've got him in my top four as well. He did beat Pericles in the Autumn Stakes when Pericles was first up at level weights. Now, Pericles is carrying 59.5, and Glint of Silver is carrying 52.5 and has had a run back. So he's probably going to be popular with those people who look at maps and things like that, whereas if there is no massive changes of tactics and the leaders are having a reasonable day, wouldn't shock me if he gets a bit of support, because
I'm expecting him to jump single figures because he ticks those map boxes, the lightweight. He's got the win over Pericles. I just have a huge question. He was gifted that race in Victoria.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, we're also looking at the potential of Colino coming out, which will take a bit out of the market as well. So it wouldn't shock me at all. But, look, I think if we're getting a fair go throughout the day, Pericles will be very hard to beat. It'll be very well backed.
I can't wait for this race.
Yeah.
All right. That closes off the fly in the ointment. I'll tell you what, there's a few flies in the ointment, isn't there?
Isn't there?
Let's get straight into rapid fire. All right, Ray, what's over the odds this week at Rose Hill?
Yeah, look, over the odds. The horse I come up with here, I think, is Vrinelli. I think he's a little bit over the odds. Obviously, all the attention's on Extremely Lucky. The price on Vrinelli will probably reduce a little bit if Alentia comes out as expected. I'd love it if he'd had a third trial or a run back, but I know what I'm going to get with this horse. He's going to roll forward and he's going to most likely lead this field, and there's a fair chance he's going to get a little bit of a chance to dictate. Now, he is better second up. I'll concede that. He won second and third up last preparation off an okay run fresh, where I think he actually went too hard, and that was on the gong day at Kembla last year. He's trialled quite well on two occasions. As I said, I know what I'm going to get. He's going to roll forward. He's going to be in front. And it's going to be up for two factors, whether he's fit enough and whether he controls enough. And that's why I think he's over the odds. So I'm Extremely Lucky. He's a really interesting case, isn't he? I mean, we've talked about him a little bit off air as well. Generally see him as a 1,000-metre horse, first up at 1,200 metres.
Big weight, 60 kilos from the back, and he might be chasing a horse that's pinched a fair break on him.
Well, he might be. He does have a small field. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, Chris Waller can do remarkable things with horses. This horse hasn't raced for nearly a year, and he's, a short price. So he may well win, but I think Vrinelli's over the odds because I think I'm going to get a sight.
Who's under?
Garza Blanca. I've had a... A couple of my multis have died with Garza Blanca.
I don't think you're the only one.
In his two runs. Look, he's only had the 6 starts. I can't be too hard on him, but he has had every possible chance in those two races where he was odds-on favourites. I wasn't overly wrapped in his trial either. He was a 1,045-metre trial. He's got 1,100 metres first up. He does have a soft gate, James McDonald, and a smallish field. There's a few things in his favour there, but I just don't want to rush in at even money. He might well win. I mean, he's a horse that I'm certainly not going to leave out of the quaddie or anything like that. But as far as who I might back in that race, I think I'm going to back the horse that's going to be on his back, which is Smashing Eagle. I think he should have won the other day. If there's a horse that's going to come from off the pace, we know he's got a great turn of foot. He's hard fit now with 3 runs back from a spell. And if Garza Blanca is maybe looking for that little bit further or is a little bit vulnerable late, he's the horse that's going to be smashing the line, but I couldn't take even money Garza Blanca at this point, and he probably ticks into odds on.
I think he's an interesting horse. I think he deserves to be favourite. $2, I agree, a little bit short. He's mine of the odds. My over the odds is a race 9, horse number 3, Madame Pommery. But what's your out wide?
Well, I'm going to Dubbo on Sunday.
You're looking for 2 from 2 here.
I'm looking for 2 from 2.
And yours paid pretty well on Sunday as well.
Yeah, $6 I think it paid, which was a nice result. A shame the stablemate Burundana couldn't get the cash in the first, but at Rose Hill the day before. We're going to go to the last race at Dubbo, race number 8, number 2, Raiding. I think this horse is racing really well at the moment. He gets 2 kilo claim for Braith Knock to bring him in with 59 and a half. His last two starts, he was an easy winner at Warren over a mile in a Class 1, beating a subsequent winner. He came out at Dubbo, his next start with 60 kilos on his back, just failed off a wide gate over the mile. He got a wide gate again here, but I think with that run under his belt, he stays in the same class, he drops in weight. The horse that he beat will be up in front of him. I think that he can run him down. So race 8, number 2, Raiding at Dubbo.
All right, in regards to, do you have any trial horses you're keen to follow on Saturday?
Well, a lot of our tips are trial horses first up from a spell, aren't they?
Is there one, maybe not for Saturday, there's one that you go, it's come back better this campaign, or there's one horse that you need to see him run well because you think they might have improved?
Yeah, look, I got myself burnt with that last week, didn't I, with Carazana, probably looking for more ground being at a trial. I think the horse, I'll go with Saturday. Call Dye is the horse.
How good is she trying?
She tried really well. I mean, she opened up probably a little bit on the short side. This is another tactic change or tactical situation here, because I think in a race where there's not a whole deal of speed, she has to make some use of that little gate. Tim Clark rides, which is handy if you're going to go forward to a degree. I think that she's a horse that can go back into group company. A lot of these horses are probably around their level or close to it. If she runs up to that trial, she's in the finish.
I want to highlight her. These are the horses I want to find in trials. Madame Pommery, come back better horses, clearly off the trials. You think so? Her trials are always quiet, but the way she trucked past Alligator Blood, she's forward. You can tell she's forwarder than she normally is. You can tell there's a fair bit of intent. And she's so well bred, if they're not going to win a black type race this campaign, she might as well go off to be a mum.
Well, she trucked up behind Alligator Blood. She ran third in that trial. She was in great order. And she's already Group 2 placed and listed placed. So she's out of Samantha Miss by Frankel. You don't come too much better pedigree than that. She's only lightly raced. I think there's a stakes win in her. And, you know, she needs to go close in this one.
All right, best bet.
Going to go with Cabalas in the first. Hopefully we can start with the Blaze of Glory.
And best value?
Well, I think Tags in the Highway is good value.
Geez, you've got a couple of price, because Ranelli you gave a really good case for, and Tags as well.
Yeah, well, Tags has had two runs back from a spell. The Gainer Williams has said they're going to try and ride him a little bit more forward than previously. He hit the line like a rocket at his second up run. He's country championships ability in a highway. He ran second in the country championships at Mudgee a year or so ago, got injured and missed the final. So he is above highway grade. If he gets the breaks, and he's going to need them, I think he's over the odds.
Ray Hickson, you've absolutely killed it once again. It's been a pleasure once again joining us on the B-Set.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope on Sunday morning we wake up and think, yep, we've had a good day for the followers of the B-Set. And one more week before Nick Burney's back from his holiday. So we're just doing our best.
Perfect. Thank you for joining us once again.